the heartaches and troubles that sometimes we go through, and sometimes we wonder, are these things ever going to end? I've got the answer for you. Yes. Yes, they are. You know, if I remember when I was younger, that I would hear preachers speak on the subject of the burdens of life and the trials and all the things that people go through and the heartaches that they have. And I would be a young man, maybe something like 56 years of age, something like that, real very young, and thinking about that. And not to give away my age, but I know I look much younger than that, don't I? So thank you. That's because I walk around with Debbie Russ all the time. She makes me look younger because she never ages. And that was a blessing today, that song, wasn't it? And I appreciate that. But they would preach, you know, if you're, you know, just get ready. There's going to be a heartache sometime. And I would go through life and I go, wow, I don't have any heartaches. I don't have any troubles. I like living like that, folks. That's a great place to be. Matter of fact, if I had my choice, you know, I'd be there all the time. But I've learned that God brings burdens into our lives to refine us. He brings even heartaches to redirect us. I'm just glad that God knows everything. And he knows what we're going to go through, and he knows when we're going to go through it. So I would go along, and there would be no heartaches and no real burdens, and then all of a sudden, they were there. And, you know, you think back, well, maybe I should have listened to what some of those older men were talking about and what they were trying to share. Because when those burdens came, I thought, well, now what am I going to do? Because up until that time, I had all the answers. And one thing I've learned lately is that I don't have all the answers. But I do know somebody who does have all the answers. And we do have burdens that we carry. And everybody carries a different burden. Sometimes the burdens that people carry, sometimes the heaviest and deepest burdens are the burdens that you and I never see them carry. Because sometimes they're very deep. Sometimes they're very heavy. But we do know that God has made provision in his word here and of what we can do with those burdens. So with that in mind, let's kind of look at some things in this psalm here, and then we'll get to our key verse that we read just a few moments ago. Look at verse number 1, and we'll read a few verses here. The Bible says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Skip on down to verse number 12. Here it says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Look over to verse number 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Aren't you glad about that today? Because we have permission to call out to him and to cry out to him. Verse 17, "Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Verse number 19, "God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God." And then we look at verse number 22, and the psalmist says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, we all have burdens. We all carry burdens, and sorrow comes to everybody. In Job chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." Chapter 14 and verse number 1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman, is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble." So we all have them. But let me also pause right there and say, some are heavier than others. Some are heavier than others. And though some are heavier than others, even in the heaviest, and even in some of the hardest, there's always somebody that has it even heavier than you do, even if yours are very, very heavy. So what do we do with that? First of all, I want to bring to your attention the kinds of troubles that people carry. Sometimes people have burdens that have to do with the home. Those burdens can be very troubling. To most, the home, help me finish this if you can. Home, sweet home. But to some, home is not so sweet. But you know it is, what it is? It is sweet to most. It is sweet to most. And I think if we went throughout the room, we'd find a lot of people that say, "Boy, we just have a great home because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have that." But we have the burdens that when they attack the home, they seem like to be the greatest. It could be a spouse. It could be a father or a mother. It could be a child. And when that happens, it seems like they just come in very heavy. God has three institutions that He ordained, and He ordained them in this order. Number one was the home. Number two was the government. And number three was the church. And it seems like the devil tries to attack all three of those all the time. Because he plays for keeps is how he plays. And so he's always attacking those things. And we can all look back to times where we've been under maybe some type of attack and some kind of burden. Now, let's just stop right here. Before we go too much farther, realize we may be talking about these burdens, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that God has the answer. All right? And that answer is His word and working through our lives, and we're going to see those things. So don't be despondent with how heavy maybe these burdens are, because God has the answer to these things. But what about when they affect your home? Those are the kinds of burdens that people carry. Some people carry the burdens of responsibility. And it seems to me that our makeup and how God has made each and every one of us kind of determines how we carry those burdens of responsibility. Some people are just joyful all the time. I don't like those people. I mean, you know, all the time. They're just joyful all the time, you know. They're joyful all the time. A problem comes and, you know, the circumstance just hits them on the back and just rolls off and say, "Man, why can't I be like that?" You know, and they're just joyful. And then there are others that, the burden comes and, oh, the sky is falling and, oh, the burdens of responsibility because nobody has it as rough as I do. Oh yeah, there's a lot of people that have it as rough as you and I that you do, and myself included, and responsibility. And we take those responsibilities and we internalize them and we deal with them differently. And some of those things have to do the victory that we have in our lives is really how God has made you. And He's made you to receive them that way. But He's also promised a deliverance as well. So they have the burden of responsibilities. Some people have the burden of the Lord's work. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul is speaking here and he says, "Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." You know, the Apostle Paul, he was that great missionary. He was that missionary going through Asia and Asia Minor and three missionary trips that we study and we look at and the churches that he established, and each one have different burdens, and he has the care of all of that. And some people take all of those burdens upon them. And Paul referred to the burdens of the Lord's work. You know, each and every one of us are a part of the Lord's work. And we have to carry these things. And these things are not, they're not really burdensome, although we carry burdens, but there's victory in that as well. We have burdens to do with the home. We have burdens that do with our business responsibilities. We have burdens in connection to the Lord's work. But we also have burdens that have to do with our friends. Burdens that have to do with our friends. Go back to our text, if you would, please. Look at verse number 12. Here, David says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." Now, people believe that this is referring to David's counselor, Ahithophel. If you remember, David carried a great burden with his family, with many of his family members. And one of those was his own son, Absalom. And Absalom was conspiring against his own father and plotting against his own father to take the kingdom and to separate the kingdom and to win the hearts of the people, his own son, because even Absalom had been hurt very deeply. But I think we have to kind of realize that when it comes to the hurts of life, many of these hurts come because of multiple reasons. There's ourself, there's the old devil, and then there's things that God just allows. But there was this man, Ahithophel, and Ahithophel was, he had remembrances of things that David was responsible for in his life. And he turned on David, and David says, "You know, if it had been a stranger that did these things to me, if it had been some great enemy, that would have been a lot easier to take. But this was someone that I thought was my friend and loved me. But it was this, and it was our friends." Sometimes the burdens that we carry have to do with our physical burdens. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Remember how that the Apostle Paul prayed three times for the Lord to take the thorn in the flesh away from him. You remember that? And what did Paul say that God had said? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so some people here today have thorns in the flesh that you may not ever have the relief from. But the thing that's interesting about that verse there in that passage is that the Apostle Paul said he had this thorn in the flesh, and he said it was the messenger from Satan. So sometimes God even sends the messenger of Satan to bring us to a place of acceptance. And Paul had a lot to learn there. He had to learn how to be content. He had to learn how to accept the thorn in the flesh. And it was a physical burden that he carried. Some people carry burdens that have to do with their temperament and the way God made them. And God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But sometimes they can be a burden. Sometimes the burdens of life are burdens of bereavement. You lose a family member. You lose a friend. You lose someone close to you, and you have to deal with that. And we know that burdens are disappointments that have to be dealt with. The heaviest burden of all, I think, that we all have to deal with is the burden of sin. The burden of sin and how it's just a burden. But in this psalm that we read just a few minutes ago, we also notice that there are several things that we are not to do in relation to our burdens. Look at verse number 1 with me again, would you please? The Bible says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." What's the first thing we're not supposed to do? We are not to doubt God. Would you say that with me together? We are not to doubt God. Again, we are not to doubt God. It says, "Give ear unto my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Hey, one of the best things that you can do when you have a burden, the burdens of life, is you can run to the Lord in prayer. Run to him in prayer. You say, but I don't know what to say. Doesn't matter if you don't know what to say. Run to him in prayer. Over and over again in the book of Psalms and it really throughout the Bible, his servants, but particularly David, he was always running to God in prayer. And I want to suggest to you, you run to God in prayer because that's what's going to help you with doubting the word of God, because we all have doubts. We all have fears. But there is no need to doubt him now. We trust the Lord. We don't doubt him. Something else that we're not supposed to do. Look at verse number 2. It says, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Complaining. We're not supposed to complain. Right? Are you all with me this morning? Are you supposed to complain? Yes or no? No. We're not supposed to complain. But when we do, we bring that complaint to the Lord, and we bring it to him. Complaining is nothing more than rebellion. Complaining is nothing more than just out and out simple rebellion. Well, I thought rebellion was some great defiance. Well, have you ever thought about that? That's what a complaint is. It's a defiance of the plan that God has for our lives. Something else we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to despair. Look at verses 4 and 5. It says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. So we're not supposed to despair, because that's a danger. But then we get to verses number 6 and 7, and here's what we're also not supposed to do. It says, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Yeah, I can imagine old David here. I mean, you talk about somebody who is really going through it. Now, stay with me, folks. All right, sit up straight. Stay with me here, okay? David here, what he wanted to do, he said, oh, if I could just run away, if I could just end it all, or if I could just get away from all this. Look, be patient. Be patient. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and he wants to demonstrate it in you. He wants to demonstrate his greatness, because, ladies and gentlemen, God is great. God is wonderful. He is everything that we need. He has got all the answers to all of our problems. So we're not supposed to complain, we're not supposed to doubt, we're not supposed to despair, but we're also not supposed to run away, because God has brought us to these places. Remember the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? They came out of Egypt and they came out complaining all the way. They came all the way up to the Red Sea, and they turned around and they saw Pharaoh's army coming behind them, and they murmured against Moses here. You know the story, how that Moses takes the rod of God and his prayer, and he stretches out the rod of God, and God parted the waters, and the children of Israel walk through the midst of the Red Sea on dry ground, and they go to the other side. We see the armies of Pharaoh, they come and they pursue after him, and there we see that God destroys the He destroys the enemy. God's been destroying the enemy for some 7,000 years now, folks, and he's not going to stop now. So then the children of Israel get over to the other side of the Red Sea. They're safe from that, but they've got the wilderness before them. And in that wilderness, they wander there. They end up wandering for some 40 years. But over and over again during that time, God says that he led them there. He led them by the way of the wilderness. He led them by the way of the Hittites and the Amorites and all of those people. It was God's leading them. Now, they wanted instant success of coming out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea, and then everything's wonderful. But it took them 40 years to get there to the promised land, and God led them all the way. What are we to do with the burdens of life? Look at verse number 22, and I want you to read it with me again. Psalm 55:22, ready, begin. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, I want to give you three things today that will help you with what we are to do with the burdens of life. Number one, we are to accept the burden from the Lord. Accept the burden from the Lord. That's a good one. Say it with me. Ready? Accept the burden from the Lord. The word burden, catch this, the word burden actually means gift. It's a gift. The word burden means that which he hath given to me. Ladies and gentlemen, God has got a plan. Ladies and gentlemen, in this day in which we live, God is working out circumstances right now. We just don't know what they are. So he says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. First thing we have to do is we have to accept that this burden is from the Lord. Remember how he had led the children of Israel. By the way, he led them into the wilderness. Now, I am not saying that God is responsible for every burden that we have in our lives. Some he is, not all. But the point that the Bible tends to make and continues to give us is that there is always a refuge, there is always a saving grace in every burden that we have to bear. So when we come to this point in life, we say, well, you know, I've got these burdens, we've got a decision to make. You know, are you going to work through them? Or are you going to stay here in defeat? Now, depending upon your makeup, depending upon where your walk with the Lord, depending on where you are, all of these things kind of come into play there. What do you want to do with your burden? You have it. You have it. And you've got to do something with it. You can carry it for the rest of your life, or you can accept it right now. Now, God is working on a process of getting you to a place of victory, but just like the children of Israel, and I'm not suggesting it's going to take 40 years, but as an example, he took them 40 years through the wilderness. And then when those that did enter the promised land, they still had giants and they still had battles and they still had things that they had to conquer. But God was with them every step of the way. Romans 8, verse 28 is one of the best verses in all the Bible when you're going through these kinds of burdens, where we're supposed to know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Yes. What's the condition? Loving God. That's a good one. Do you love God this morning? Amen. Now, I know we probably all have different levels of that love. Do I love him like I should? Oh, boy, we all have to work at that. I'd be very careful to say how much I love him. Remember Peter, after he denied the Lord three times, the Lord Jesus says to him, "Now, Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" See, after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and after his resurrection, about that time, Peter was so discouraged because of his actions. He said, I'm going fishing. What did fishing mean? It means his old occupation. He was a professional fisherman. When I go fishing, I am not a professional. That's why I don't go with Steve and Russ. When the kids do better than you, it's very discouraging. I'm not talking about his preaching here. I mean, what he's doing with this church, it's amazing. Praise the Lord for that. But I went fishing with him here a few years ago, and he pulls in this bass that's about this long. I mean, it's literally this long, about 8 pounds, and we compared fish. And I said, my goodness, that is an amazing fish that you have there. And you know Stephen, Pastor Stephen, I'm sorry, you know the pastor. If it's an animal, he's posing with it. I said, let me see that thing. So I grabbed that thing by the mouth, you know, and I'm holding it there. I said, take a picture of that fish right there. I posted it everywhere. I never said I didn't catch it. I never said a word. Not one word. He said, Dad, I can't post it now. I said, yeah. You may be a sharp cookie, but experience right here. Peter said, I'm going fishing. It wasn't just the kind of fishing I do. It was professional fishing. Jesus comes to his disciples when they are down. They are burdened. Especially Peter. He says, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? 3 times the Lord Jesus asked him that question, and 3 times he had to give him an answer. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But I don't know that Peter was fully convinced that first time. I don't know that he was fully convinced that second time, and I definitely don't think he was fully convinced even that third time. Because he tells the Lord, he said, thou knowest all things. Now, let me pause right there. It is good that God knows all things. He knows how this thing's going to end. He knows when you're going to come out of it. He knows when you're going to go into it. And he knows the path that you take. And he is the burden bearer. That's one of the best things about being in an assembly in a church like Faithway Baptist Church with other believers, many who have gone through some of the things that others of us may be getting ready to go into. We have to accept the burden from the Lord. Number 2, after we accept the burden, the Lord cast the burden upon the Lord. Cast the burden upon the Lord. The word cast means to hurl, it means to fling, and it donates, it indicates action. Cast the burden upon the Lord. Now first we have to accept the things that God has allowed to happen. It may not be God's will for everything that does happen, but for some divine purpose, he has allowed it. And after that, then we have to cast that burden upon the Lord. Daniel was cast into prison. A decree was made that Daniel could not obey. Daniel was being prohibited to pray to the God of heaven. But even after the king's decree, he goes to his room and he opens the window towards Jerusalem and he bows and he prays 3 times a day like he had done before time. And they took Daniel and they cast him into prison. They cast him into the den of lions. We see that Jonah was cast into the sea. They took him, and when they realized that there was no other option for their safety, they took Jonah, who had disobeyed God, and they cast him into the sea. Remember John the Baptist. He's preaching the Jesus, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. He was prophesying the Messiah, and he was preaching about Jesus. He ended up losing his head over all of that, and he was cast into prison. One of the best things that you can look at with this is when one of these days the old devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire. But we're supposed to cast our burdens upon the Lord. We're supposed to rely upon him. He's the great burden bearer. The Bible says, come to me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Get this. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what the key is? You know what the key is when the burden is so heavy? Get in the yoke with the Lord. Because when you're in the yoke with the Lord, He's the one doing all the pushing. He's the one doing all the pulling. And then we just go along for the ride. We accept our burden from the Lord. We cast our burden upon the Lord. And then here's the last thing. We leave it with Him. We leave it with Him. Now, look at our text verse again, and then we're almost done this morning. The Bible says, cast your burdens upon the Lord. And then I like this. He says, He will sustain thee. You want to know how you're going to bear it? He's going to bear it for you. Okay? And then He says, He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. You see, sometimes when we don't even understand the burden yet, God is bringing us to a place of understanding. That's why we don't despair. That's why we don't run. That's why we don't flee. That is why we accept. That is why we cast. But then we have to leave it with Him, because He knows what is best for you, and He knows what is best for me. Aren't you glad about that? The Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. And it's good that God is good, because we need it. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank You for the blessings of God. And then, Lord, help us to be thankful with an understanding of what the burdens that You have allowed into our lives, what they mean. Because sometimes these things are given to us so that we may be